I want to encourage you during this time of still uncertainty that you may rely on the promises of God. God's promises never change. I want to share two verses with you today, maybe three verses before we start our message. The first one is that in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." We're to bring everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving, whatever concerns we might have, and God will give us the peace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you?" When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit is walking with you. And in Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There are three things here in these verses. One, we're to bring everything to God in prayer. And then, and Jesus will keep us, giving us peace. And that the Holy Spirit dwells within us when we believe in Jesus. And it's not us, but it's Christ in us. When we have problems, when our mind gets off in the world things, we're not to be thinking about that. We're to be putting our mind and letting us know that Christ is in us. Christ lives in us. And we need to praise God for that. I want you to also know the goodness of God has not been canceled during this time. Wake up each morning and know that God loves you and rejoice that he is with you each and every day. I pray that you'll be blessed by these messages. If you are able and moved by the Holy Spirit to give to our ministry, we would appreciate donations sent to Augustana Lutheran Church, 3251 Midway Road, Duluth, Minnesota, 55810. Our message this morning is titled, "The Upper Taker." And our text is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But let's pray first. Father in heaven, almighty God, we come before you in Jesus' precious and holy name, our Lord and our Savior. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our very minds, that we may grow in your grace and your knowledge and your wisdom and understanding. We ask that the Holy Spirit would fill us with his presence. And that we pray, Heavenly Father, that for each person that hears this message or each person that reads this message, will be filled with your presence. Teach us now. In your precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray and ask this. Amen. The Upper Taker. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen." What perfect and powerful words God has given us. Let me ask you, Are you waiting for the upper taker or the undertaker? In the church where I grew up, my pastor had this saying he would often repeat. He was waiting for the upper taker and not the undertaker. Who are you waiting for? If you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and as a Son of God, you are a lost sinner and waiting for the undertaker. Without faith in Jesus Christ, our righteousness is as filthy rags. It says in Romans 3:23, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we are destined to an eternity of separation from God in a lake of fire. That is hell, it is. My pastor believed with all of his heart and soul and mind in Jesus Christ. As Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And in the book of Mark, he added, with all your strength. My pastor was waiting for the upper taker. He was waiting for Christ's return. Do you believe in Jesus with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? Are you waiting eagerly for Christ's return? This scripture we read is one of the most important prophetic scriptures in all the Bible. It teaches of the coming of Christ, which is the next event on God's calendar. No one knows when he is coming. It could be this very hour. It could be in 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, or even 500 years, although I do not think that is the case. I think his coming is imminent. No one knows, but he is coming. And it is next on God's program. Are you waiting? And are you ready if Christ would return right now? Are you ready if Christ would return right now? Do you believe in Jesus with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? Do you believe that he died for your sins? And he was raised so you could be right with God, be justified before God? Paul, who served Jesus, knew he could return at any time. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Paul did not say when Christ would return, but that he would come. Paul wrote this in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul knew from the very beginning of his ministry that Christ could return at any time. Christ taught the Thessalonians at the start of his ministry of his coming. Later, he taught the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly waiting for Christ's return? Do you know that your citizenship is in heaven? Every believer's home is in heaven. Paul is reinforcing Christ's coming. But he is first writing this to answer a question in the mind of the believers. Did those who had died miss Christ's coming or rapture? The Thessalonian believers were concerned about the saints who had died before the rapture. Are you concerned about those who die without faith in Jesus? Are you concerned about those who die without faith in Jesus? Should you be sharing Christ with them? 1 Thessalonians 4:13 teaches, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul doesn't want believers to be uninformed or ignorant about those who had died or were asleep. Asleep refers to the death of the body and not the spirit of a person. Sleep is temporary. Daniel also spoke of the death of the body as sleep. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." We wake from sleep. Death is temporary because it has its resurrection. The resurrection of the lost for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. They will be cast into the lake of fire. Those cast into the lake of fire will suffer the second death, which is Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 speaks of. This is an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. The unbeliever sees death as final and frightening because they have no hope. They are looking for the undertaker, and they fear death. There is also a resurrection of those who have died in Christ. But before we move to verse 14, it is important that to note that Paul did not want them to sorrow as others who have no hope. The believer has hope of eternal life, everlasting life. Dust will go back to dust. That's the body. But the spirit of a believer goes to be with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." At the death of a believer in Christ Jesus, the spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord. Early Christians knew death was not final. Every believer needs to know death is not final. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." This is a promise to those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, that he is risen today. The promise is that they have eternal life, and the Lord Jesus will comfort them, as explained in verse 16 of our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Teach us, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain into the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." This means those who have died in faith in Christ will be raptured or taken up at Christ's coming. The Lord Jesus himself will descend from heaven with a shout and trumpet of God. Every believer will know when Christ returns. Those dead in Christ will come out of the graves and will meet Christ in the air first. Then we who are alive will be caught up or raptured in the air. and we will always be with the Lord. This will be done in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52 teaches us this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. How does this change happen? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, it says this, a very important verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Our bodies are not going to heaven. Our bodies are not going to heaven. Corruption that cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We will have a new body. It will not be identical to the old one, and it will yet be like the old one. God will give us a new body to live in. Our physical bodies will be made alive as glorified spiritual bodies. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, we shall all be changed. Whether you die or don't die, you will be changed. Before any of us can go to heaven, we have to be changed. We would be changed in a moment, in a fraction of a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our bodies are temporary. We are going to get a new body. The inward man is spiritual. God is a person, but God is not a physical material being. God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We will have a glorified spiritual body like Christ our Lord has to worship God. We will have a glorified spiritual body like Christ our Lord has to worship God. All who believe in Jesus need to be waiting eagerly for the upper taker, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be looking for Jesus to return. Every Christian today, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, and Son of God, needs to be looking for Jesus to return today. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, instruct, therefore comfort one another with these words. He wanted to instruct them, encourage them, and for them to talk about Christ's coming and their rapture. When we die, death is not final. Our bodies are asleep. Our spirit is with the Lord. We should be talking of Christ's coming as we'll be talking about a trip we are going to take. If you were planning on taking a trip, would you tell your friends? Those who believe in Jesus will be going home to be with the Lord. Are you talking about your trip home to heaven? Have you talked to any of your friends? Any of your family, about your trip of going home to be in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8 says, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. As believers in Christ Jesus, we have no need to fear death. It is not final. It is a doorway that opens up eternity. Death is a doorway that opens up eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this word you've given to us of what awaits us, that Jesus is coming back for us, and we will be raptured up, caught up to be with him forever. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your plans for us, how precious and special they are. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that those who hear and read this message will be filled with your presence in a powerful way, and that they will know what awaits them, the hope of eternal, everlasting life. In your precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.